Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Scientists are constantly looking for new ways to treat cancer. And on the show today, we'll talk about one of them with you. It's called immunotherapy. And our first guest is working on using the therapy to treat melanoma and other skin cancers. He's Dr. Vincent Ma, an assistant professor in the Division of Hematology Medical Oncology at the School of Medicine and Public Health at UW-Madison. What would you like to know about immunotherapy and how it targets cancers? I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Vincent Ma, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
Let's start with the basics here. Tell us about immunotherapy. How does it work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, the way I describe immunotherapy is that it's a little bit different from chemotherapy. You know, historically, how chemo used to work is that the drugs are sort of directly toxic against the cancer tissue, but it's also potentially toxic to sort of the normal healthy tissue as well. And so immunotherapy is a little bit different from chemotherapy, you know, in the sense that these drugs intentionally stimulate the immune system to actually play the role of targeting the cancerous tissue. So many people don't seem to realize it, but, you know, the immune system plays actually a very big role in terms of not only clearing out infections like bacteria and viruses, but also plays a big role in terms of the surveillance of cancer in the body. And so when the immune system isn't really working that well, you know, the cancer can sort of evade that. And so sometimes you need a treatment like immunotherapy to sort of wake up the immune system to kind of go back and actually start targeting the cancer cells. And so the way immunotherapy works is that these treatments specifically target molecules or proteins that actually help waken up the immune system so that it can proceed with, like I mentioned, targeting the tumor cells.
That is really cool. And you know, this treatment, if I'm not mistaken, has been around for 100 years. Why has it recently or just recently come into its own?
Yeah, so immunotherapy has actually been utilized for many years. And the way it used to be used was that it's very nonspecific. You know, there were drugs that we sort of isolated particular inflammatory proteins, for example, that sort of wake up the entire immune system, and we're very nonspecific, and we're actually pretty toxic. And so nowadays, you know, within the last decade and a half, you know, we've sort of determined that there are certain molecules that we can target in the immune system. These are called immune checkpoint inhibitors that are a little bit more specific and can cause a little bit less side effects than some of the older immunotherapy treatments we've used. And so these immune checkpoint inhibitors have really become more specific nowadays and have really shown a lot of success, you know, not only with melanoma and some of the advanced skin cancers that I treat, but is now showing some success in treating a lot of different cancers across different tumor types.
That's an amazing, amazing thing. Rod in Eagle River has a question or comment for us. Let's go there. Rod, hi. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Larry. Just a comment. I live in Eagle River, but I am a patient in a cancer clinical trial at UW-Madison for the last 2 years. Just roughly about 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with cancer of the appendix and was diagnosed at stage 4. They had tried a couple of conventional treatments and surgery. None of them were effective, and I was able to participate in this clinical trial at the UW. It is not immunotherapy, it's an inhibitor drug, but it has shown success in stabilizing the cancer and a reduction in the tumor and all of those things. And I'd just like to make the comment that UW does a lot of different research in the cancers. I was, you know, very happy with the care that I'm receiving and the attention that they give me as a trial participant. And you know, the positive results, of course, in that. And I'm, you know, we are so fortunate in the state to have that type of facility available to us and the continuing care and research that they're doing.
Right. I thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. A comment, Dr. Ma.
Yeah, no, I'm extremely happy to hear about the good experience you've had at UW Health. You know, as you mentioned, you know, UW Health is sort of a great academic center where, you know, we do a lot of research here looking into advancing ways to improve cancer treatment. You know, as I mentioned, you know, immunotherapy has really sort of exploded over the last decade and a half, and it continues to be further investigated and how we can sort of develop better treatments, better ways to make immunotherapy more effective. And so here at UW Health, you know, we have actually a variety of different clinical trials, as the caller mentioned. And, you know, we have a very good phase one clinical trial team where we actually are investigating novel different drugs to combine with immunotherapy. And we have a variety of also different other drugs and different mechanisms that are also being explored as well. And so, you know, I'm extremely thrilled and happy to be at the center where we're making significant innovations and advancements in therapy.
Yeah, Rod, thanks a lot. He mentioned inhibitors. So that's a different thing from the immunotherapy.
Yeah, so, you know, cancer treatment has sort of evolved over the years, and, you know, we can sometimes target specific proteins or, you know, mutations that cancers might have. And so, you know, I may not know specifically what type of inhibitor the caller had mentioned, but there are ways that we can treat cancer even beyond immunotherapy. So there are agents like what we call targeted therapy that can specifically target mutations that are driving the tumor growth. And we do know that immune checkpoint inhibitors, which is immunotherapy, that it is an inhibitor that inhibits a particular protein that is involved in the immune system that actually helps waken it up. So without knowing the full details, you know, there are a variety of different inhibitors that exist in the way we treat cancer.
Rod, thanks again for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, and I hope you will. Questions for our guest today. Have you been treated through immunotherapy? What was that process like? What do you want to? What would you like to know about how it works? All kinds of questions here as we talk with Dr. Vincent Ma. His work has involved using it to fight skin cancer, and we'll certainly be talking with him some more about that, about skin cancers and the results of them. But the number to call is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Kind of talked about some of the advantages of using immunotherapy. It might take away from having to use some other treatments that can cause more problems. But are there some downsides? Maybe talk about additional advantages, but then also disadvantages of using this treatment.
Yeah. So, you know, we like to think that, you know, immunotherapy is, you know, different from chemotherapy in the sense of, you know, how it works and how it treats cancer. And though, even though it's not quite chemotherapy, you know, immunotherapy does have its fair share of side effects. And so, you know, because of how it works, where you're sort of stimulating the immune system, you know, to fight off cancer, you're also stimulating your immune system, which can, you know, inadvertently attack your own body. And so, you know, your immune system is almost everywhere, you know, from your head to your toes. And so what I generally say is that even though immunotherapy has sort of revolutionized how we treat cancer, it still has side effects. And those are things that, you know, require us as medical providers to monitor while patients are on immunotherapy. And so when I talk about immunotherapy, there's actually a variety of different side effects that can exist. And all again, that sort of stems from the body, your immune system, attacking your own healthy tissue. And so there are a variety of side effects that we can see. You know, some of the common ones we see are like rashes, skin inflammation, diarrhea, which is due to your immune system attacking your colon. We also sometimes see liver injury, and the immunotherapy can sometimes attack, or the immune system can attack your endocrine glands, like your thyroid and your adrenal glands, which make very important hormones for your body. And so there are actually a variety of different side effects that can occur with immunotherapy, but not all patients experience them. And so that's why it's important when patients are on these treatments that they get monitored closely, you know, in the medical oncology clinic, by monitoring labs and making sure that patients communicate with their oncologist about new side effects that can occur in between treatments. Now, one of the nice advantages about immunotherapy is that, you know, the treatment is given IV, and it's given during every 3 to 4 weeks, depending on what type of immunotherapy is administered. So there's a nice convenience aspect to it, rather than some chemotherapy drugs that may require, you know, a continuous administration of the drug. So I hope that kind of answers your question.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it does. I was thinking, as you were talking, I was thinking about, let's say we've got somebody, well, I'll just use myself as an example. Let's say I have a family history of some disease. Maybe it's some cancers. I'm wondering, I don't have that, but for anyone who might, could this be a preventive measure for people?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, there's an ongoing exploration of using immunotherapy as sort of a preventative measure. And so we sometimes like to call that, you know, adjuvant treatment. And so what that means is that, you know, when cancer is resected, which is usually the ideal scenario, when the disease is at a point where it's very limited and hasn't spread to other parts of the body, we can actually do surgery and remove it. And then sometimes we can give adjuvant immunotherapy, which is treatment given after surgery, to actually prevent the cancer from returning. And so it's actually currently FDA approved for actually a variety of different cancers, including melanoma. And so for melanoma, after the cancer is resected and from either the skin or the lymph node, we can actually administer immunotherapy to prevent the melanoma from coming back. But that also requires a risk-benefit discussion with the medical oncologist about whether it's worth the risk, you know, to take immunotherapy based on the risk of the side effects, but also potentially the benefit of preventing the cancer from returning.
Our guest today, Dr. Vincent Ma, an assistant professor in the Division of Hematology Medical Oncology. He's at the School of Public Health, UW-Madison, talking with him about using the body's immune system to fight cancer. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments as we move along today. The number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jill Nadeau is our producer today. Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network as we talk about immunotherapy with our guest, Dr. Vincent Ma from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Great to have Dr. Ma with us today. And again, if you have a question, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Well, you mentioned you've worked with immunotherapy as it relates to melanomas. Are other cancers, skin cancers as well? Or maybe talk about that work.
Yeah, so the types of patients I typically see are melanoma patients and sort of the advanced stage skin cancers. So when I say advanced stage, meaning the cancer has really progressed beyond sort of the skin or has really invaded, you know, through the tissue. And so some of the other example skin cancers I see include basal cell, cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, Merkel cell, are some of the other types of skin cancers that I routinely see in clinic. But right now, the great thing about skin cancers, especially melanoma, is that immunotherapy is actually considered one of the preferred treatment options for these disease. And interesting and fun fact, you know, melanoma was actually the first cancer to sort of pioneer the use of immunotherapy, given that historically chemotherapy was never successful in treating the disease. And so one of the great things about being sort of a medical oncologist that specializes in, you know, both melanoma and the advanced skin cancers is just being involved with kind of the advancement and all the immunotherapies that we've seen over the years.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. John in Janesville, we'll give you a chance to join in. Thanks for calling, John.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, we can.
Okay. Okay, this is just a brief comment, just an informational comment for your guest, Dr. Ma. I have a brother-in-law who is a Harvard professor and a research scientist. Work in, he has a lab, it's called the Mooney Lab, and he's also working through the Wyss Institute in Dana-Farber, and one of his main focuses is developing a melanoma vaccine. And so I guess I'm just putting it out there. I'm hopeful that you're aware of him, but if not, and vice versa, maybe, you know, just sharing of information and that kind of stuff. Sometimes I've come across things that I've said something to someone who's like, whoa, I've never heard of that before. And he's run into that in his own personal experience in terms of various kinds of treatments, just personal.
Yeah. Thanks very much. What's his name, John?
His name is David Mooney.
Oh, David Mooney. Okay. All right. Thank you. Well, do you know Dr. David Mooney, Dr. Ma?
I do not, but no, thank you for sharing that.
Is a vaccine, and we're going to be actually talking about vaccines as a form of immunotherapy for prostate cancer coming up on the show in a little bit. So it's a bit different approach then to what you are working on.
Right. But, you know, in terms of keeping myself up to date with sort of the advancement of, you know, melanoma treatment, you know, vaccines have actually been explored with melanoma therapy in addition with immunotherapy as well. And so, you know, vaccines are essentially intended to sort of help the immune system learn about these potential proteins that we see associated with, you know, melanoma tissue, to kind of help train it and even wake it up a little bit to make immunotherapy more effective. And so that's an area that's of ongoing research right now. And, you know, essentially finding ways to kind of help the immune system or enhance the immunotherapy to be more effective. You know, the problem with immunotherapy is that while it's demonstrated a lot of success, you know, for melanoma and other cancer types, you know, it unfortunately, some patients actually don't respond to it. You know, up to 50% don't respond to immunotherapy. And so vaccine is actually a different approach that's being explored right now to see if it might make immunotherapy more effective.
Hmm. John, thanks again. Appreciate the call. Sarah in Door County, let's go to you. Hi, Sarah. Thank you for calling.
Yes, hi. I have a question for Dr. Ma. I'm interested in if you could just talk a little bit about the CAR T cell therapy used for blood cancers these days, and what's happening at UW Madison Medical with that procedure. If you offer those,
okay.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So, you know. So CAR T-cell therapy is right now used for a variety of different types of blood cancers, which unfortunately is not my area of expertise. I'd have to defer to some of that, those questions, unfortunately, to some of my hematology colleagues here at UW Health.
So we can help you with what is CAR T-cell anyway?
So CAR T cell is basically a form of a therapy that sort of utilizes and essentially extracts sort of stem cells from blood cancer patients to essentially train it so that it learns to essentially attack the blood cancers. The mechanism is actually very unique and has only been FDA approved actually not too long ago. And so it's a very unique different type of cancer therapy, which hasn't actually been thoroughly examined in a lot of different solid cancers in medical oncology, which is what I primarily do.
Yeah. We have an email from Charlie to ask you how successful immunotherapy is for treating something like Hodgkin's lymphoma after the frontline treatment chemo infusion of ABVD drugs has failed. He's 73 and he's at the stage 4 level of Hodgkin's.
Yeah, that's actually a very good question. And the reason I say that is because immunotherapy has actually not hit a mainstream for a lot of the blood cancers. And so Hodgkin's lymphoma is, interestingly, a type of blood cancer. It's basically a cancer of the lymph nodes. And so amongst all the big blood cancers we know of, Hodgkin's lymphoma is actually one of the few, if not the only, lymphomas or blood cancer that actually has FDA approval of immunotherapy, specifically immune checkpoint inhibitors, to treat the disease after progression on chemotherapy. And so what we know about immune checkpoint inhibitors for Hodgkin's lymphoma is that it actually has led to very good response rates for the disease. And so right now, as far as I'm aware, immune checkpoint inhibitors or immunotherapy is being further investigated in Hodgkin's lymphoma and seeing if we might be able to introduce it, you know, early on as even a first-line treatment for the disease. So it's a very interesting area to kind of continue to follow moving forward. And it's also great to kind of see immunotherapy not only dealing with sort of the solid cancers, but also some of the other blood cancers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question, Charlie. Steve emailed. He wonders if you're editing DNA to conduct your immunotherapy treatments.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question. You know, like I said, there's many different mechanisms and ways to sort of see how we can sort of enhance the immune system. And as you can imagine, there's a variety of different drugs that are being examined with different mechanisms. For example, targeting specific mutations and even what we call like epigenetics. So types of therapies that sort of modify the factors that affect the DNA and how proteins are expressed. And so there are some drugs that are actually being explored right now that are epigenetic modifying drugs to see if that might actually enhance immunotherapy response. And so some of the way these epigenetic drug modifying agents work is that they sort of add or remove particular molecules on the DNA, and that sort of enhances or even suppresses the expression of proteins. And so that's an area that's continually being explored and is actually an area that I'm actually exploring a little bit of, particularly for Merkel cell carcinoma, which is a very serious type of skin cancer.
Hmm. Tom in Buffalo County, we'll go to you now. Hi, Tom. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello. Yes, I have or had bladder cancer. That was about 7 years ago. And I had the surgery. I have, following the surgery, I've had immunotherapy, which involves putting live tuberculosis virus down in the bladder through a catheter and then holding it in for a couple hours. Anyway, I wondered what type of... and now I've been cancer-free now for 5 years, so that's been good. And I just wonder what type of viruses or whatnot are used for other types of cancer. You speak specifically to melanoma, and I'm wondering what is used to induce the immune system for that.
Hmm. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, that's very great to kind of hear about your experience, and congratulations on being cancer-free. You know, there are a variety of different ways to sort of enhance the immune system, and not necessarily just the immune checkpoint inhibitors that target specific proteins on the immune system. And so it actually has been explored looking at a variety of different, for example, viruses, for example, to actually help enhance the immune system. So, for example, there are ways where we can sort of modify, for example, the herpes virus, for example, which is actually being explored in clinical trials right now to actually help reawaken the immune system. And so what we have done, especially in terms of research, is sort of modifying these viruses so that it's not causing the disease that we're concerned about, right, these herpes viruses, but sort of enhancing it, engineering it in such a way that we can sort of enhance the immune system. And even combining it, for example, with immune checkpoint inhibitors to make it more effective in terms of treating cancer. And so there are actually a variety of different viruses, for example, that are also being explored. But right now, that's still an area of ongoing research, and we're still waiting for more results to come.
Mm. Tom, good question again. Thank you very much for calling. You can join in, too, question or comment or maybe an experience to share. Hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. Stephen Glendale emailed, he's in his first cycle of chemotherapy for multiple myeloma. One possible treatment for the future is a bone marrow transplant. And he wonders, is a bone marrow transplant a form of immunotherapy?
Yeah, that's actually a really great question. So yes, I actually would consider a bone marrow transplant as a type of immunotherapy, a little bit different from the immune checkpoint inhibitors that I had sort of described. But the way bone marrow transplant typically works is that you sort of remove all the abnormal, you know, cancerous blood inside the bone marrow, and then you sort of introduce, for example, a donor, bone marrow stem cells to the patient. And how that typically works is that you essentially have the donor stem cells sort of act as sort of a new reamped sort of immune system to sort of attack and get rid of, you know, some of the residual or cancerous tissue that's left. And so, yes, I actually would consider bone marrow transplant a very unique type of immunotherapy treatment.
Very, very cool. So somebody was wondering, and I think you mentioned it, but probably worth repeating, sort of the how many or what percentage of patients seem to respond to, at least in your research and your work with skin cancers, how's the success rate, I guess?
Yeah. So, you know, while immunotherapy has been extremely effective and has made a lot of the advanced stage melanoma and skin cancers live longer and better lives than before, unfortunately, there's still a decent percentage of patients, you know, who still don't respond to immunotherapy. You know, I would estimate about 40 to even 50% of patients don't respond. And so usually in those cases, you know, you sort of have to wonder what other treatment options are available. You know, what's the reason why these patients aren't responding to immunotherapy? And so that's why we have to consider offering patients like these, you know, clinical trials, trials where we're sort of investigating drugs that might be helpful for sort of enhancing the immune system to work a little bit better. And so, for example, like at the University of Wisconsin, we have a few clinical trials where we actually combine sort of an experimental drug with immunotherapy to be more effective. But like, for example, for melanoma, you know, when the immune system, you know, doesn't seem to work or it doesn't really respond, you know, to the immunotherapy, you know, we actually have several other drugs we can consider using, specifically targeted therapy. The specific targeted therapies we use target this mutation called BRAF, which actually occurs in about 50% of all melanoma patients or tissues. And so we can actually use these targeted therapies, which is different from immunotherapy, but targets the specific mutation that's driving the growth of these cancers.
Hmm.
And, you know, with the other skin cancers I've mentioned, in addition to immunotherapy, there are also a variety of other treatments that we can use as well. Like, for example, basal cell, we could use hedgehog inhibitors, which is actually preferentially used in the first-line setting, you know, for the disease. But, you know, what I will say is that, you know, sometimes when we just don't have much in terms of availability for immunotherapy, we have to sort of explore other options as much as possible.
I imagine there's been a lot of speculation as to why some people don't respond to it, and there may be a variety of things.
Yeah, so, you know, the thing is that that's an area of ongoing research, is to understand, you know, why some individuals don't respond to immunotherapy. And, you know, that's also one of the basis of behind my research as well, is to kind of figure some of that out. You know, kind of exploring various factors that might be contributing, for example, whether it's age, for example, medications that might be used, lifestyles, a variety of different risk factors, you know, where the disease is located. You know, for example, you know, we also know that, for example, having cancer involving the liver actually leads to worse outcomes or lower response rates with immunotherapy. That's an area where we're still trying to understand why that's the case. And so, you know, does it mean that we need to, for example, treat with more than one immunotherapy drug and treat with maybe two immunotherapy drugs at the same time? And so that's an area that we're still trying to understand more of, which is, you know, which types of patients are likely, you know, to respond and which aren't. And also, you know, which patients are likely to develop side effects, you know, from immunotherapy. That's an area where we still don't have really good tests at this time to understand why patients are susceptible to side effects versus not.
Is there a danger? How's it best to put this? If we try the immunotherapy at the expense of maybe a different treatment that might have had more quick response?
Maybe I'm not understanding your question.
Okay, so if I have my choice, I could do immunotherapy or I could do some sort of radiation or something else. And I think, well, maybe I'll just try this immunotherapy, and then it doesn't work and it goes beyond the point that other treatments wouldn't help it.
Yeah, so, you know, with a lot of the research we have nowadays, you know, we sort of have to think about how we sort of prioritize treatment. You know, I think that's an area we still need to learn more about. You know, for example, for like melanoma, for example, you know, I mentioned how we use immunotherapy frequently for the disease, but we also have targeted therapy as well. And so more recently, we've sort of learned that, you know, if you had to choose between starting off with targeted therapy that targets the BRAF mutation versus immunotherapy, we've actually found that actually treating with immunotherapy first is actually preferential over targeted therapy. And so this was actually just kind of recently discovered and well understood pretty recently, which is pretty surprising given that, you know, we've had availability of immunotherapy, specifically immune checkpoint inhibitors, you know, within the last decade and a half. And so we're sort of trying to learn about how we can best sequence, you know, the best available and FDA-approved treatments for our cancer patients, and not just melanoma, but also for a variety of different cancers as well, you know, like lung cancer, where chemotherapy still seems to be effective for the disease. How do you sort of sequence between using chemo and immunotherapy, whether together or in different sequences?
Yeah. Bill in Madison, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Bill.
Yeah, hi. I'm a type 1 diabetic, an autoimmune, because my immune system is aggressive, killed the T cells or the insulin-producing cells in my pancreas. How are you going to prevent, if you're enhancing the immune system, from causing other autoimmune diseases such as Hashimoto's for the thyroid, fibromyalgia, celiac disease? I'm aware of reverse vaccine research where they're going to alter the cells to stop attacking, recognizing things that are foreign, and you would be able to manipulate the cell to attack specific cancers and so forth.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, as you mentioned, you know, an autoimmune disease, such as like type 1 diabetes, Hashimoto's, Graves' disease, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, ulcerative colitis, a variety of autoimmune conditions are sometimes, you know, what I consider, you know, something that I have to be very cautious and wary of, you know, for patients that have these, before I start immunotherapy, because what we do know is that immunotherapy, stimulates your immune system to potentially attack not only cancer but also your own body. And having an autoimmune condition sort of increases the risk of the flare of the autoimmune disease. And so, you know, what I always say is that when I see patients that have an autoimmune disease but also have cancer that needs to be treated with immunotherapy, you know, I do a lot of counseling talking about how we need to be very cautious and need to frequently monitor these patients, especially if their autoimmune disease is going to flare during therapy. And so what happens is sometimes I do need to interrupt treatment or even stop it if a flare exists. You know, there are a variety of treatments that we can do to kind of help reverse sort of the toxicities with immunotherapy, like steroids and other immunosuppressive drugs. And so, as you can imagine, you know, there are some patients who don't have autoimmune disease and can still get an autoimmune-like reaction or a side effect. And so, you know, an area of ongoing research right now is to find better ways, as the caller mentioned, to make it so that the immune system can be more specific towards the cancer tissue, but less specific against, you know, the normal healthy tissue in the body. You know, time and time again, where I do see a lot of the patients I treat where they have no pre-existing autoimmune disease, but they develop the most debilitating side effects. And it's because the immune system is attacking their own body, as if they're now sort of developing this new type of autoimmune disease like Crohn's or ulcerative colitis when they have diarrhea. And so I think this is an exciting time, you know, where we're not only finding that the treatment for cancer with immunotherapy is effective, but now how can we make it better and have patients live longer and better lives without side effects from it?
Yeah, it's a very lots of good questions today. So is that where we're going in the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you see immunotherapy used in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, so I sort of envision immunotherapy. I don't see immunotherapy graduating or becoming an old drug. In fact, I really do see immunotherapy evolving and, you know, finding research kind of going into areas of finding different inhibitors, you know, things that target the immune system and make it more effective. So finding different molecules within the immune system so that it's more specific and potentially more effective than what we have currently. But right now where I see immunotherapy going is, you know, combining it actually with different other drugs, different mechanisms of action that also enhance the immune system to be more effective. So, you know, at this point, you know, we're sort of dealt with a lot of the good immunotherapy drugs that some of them are unfortunately toxic and not always effective. But, you know, it is an area that I very much look forward to in the next few years.
Well, Dr. Ma, it's been a great having you with us today. I really appreciate your time and look forward to another visit from you. Dr. Vincent Ma, our guest today. Assistant Professor in the Division of Hematology, Medical Oncology at the School of Medicine and Public Health at UW-Madison. Talking about other potential uses, our next guest is going to talk with us about immunotherapy and how it's being used to treat prostate cancer, or how it will be. That's coming up next on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.